Investigators from the Women Health Initiative hormone trials this month reaffirmed that hormone therapy is not recommended for the prevention of chronic disease, but may remain a viable option for the short-term management of menopausal symptoms in younger women. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 7.5 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Tuesday, October the 29th. Some doctors had stopped prescribing all hormone replacement therapy after the first landmark study more than a decade ago found increased health risks in older women. Some women were scared off, too. We will talk about this follow-up study this hour and discuss when hormone replacement therapy is safe and called for and when it is not recommended. And we will welcome your questions at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Our guest is Dr. Brian Baer, an obstetrician-gynecologist at Aurora Advanced Healthcare in Milwaukee. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks a lot for being with us. So first, define for us, what exactly is hormone replacement therapy?
Well, hormone replacement therapy is the use of estrogen and progesterone to reduce menopausal symptoms, which usually starts somewhere in the 40s and 50s. And those symptoms would include things like hot flashes and night sweats and drying of the vagina over time.
And talk about what happened 13 years ago when the first landmark study came out. And it said that, at least in older women, if they were on hormone replacement therapy for a number of years, it could increase their chances of disease.
Well, the first thing that happened was my phone rang off the hook for about 2 or 3 days, and I spent a lot of time talking to patients that they're going to be okay. And the story is that when we, back in the late 80s and early 90s, we were treating people for many conditions with hormones, not only menopause. There was a feeling that giving people hormone replacement therapy, either if they've had their uterus out or if they haven't, which are two separate types of treatment, that putting them on hormone replacement therapy would reduce the risk of heart disease, osteoporosis, Alzheimer's disease, and other aging-related ills. But, and this was based on the Framingham study out east that studied about 10,000 nurses and found that their risk of cardiovascular disease was reduced. Now, the Women's Health Initiative was started in the early 90s, and interestingly, they took women, and the average age was 64. The age range was between 50 and 79, but the majority of the women on average was 64. And that's long after your estrogen levels have declined and menopausal symptoms have essentially gone away. So they were studying a completely different subset of women. It was like comparing apples to oranges, in that the women that we ordinarily had treated for menopausal symptoms were started on hormones when they went into menopause. And therefore, their body hadn't seen a long-term decline in the use of estrogen. So when this study came out, a lot of physicians, obstetricians, gynecologists, family practitioners, and internal medicine specialists, they basically said, you need to get off that stuff. It's going to kill you, because the study showed that it increased your risk of breast cancer, that it increased your risk of stroke and cardiovascular disease, and that the risks far outweighed the benefits.
Mm-hmm. So what does this new study say?
Well, the new study is basically saying that the pendulum had swung too far against the drugs, and that the risks aren't as bad as was once thought. And what they're saying is that we shouldn't be treating, the new study is saying basically, that we shouldn't be treating people for health conditions to reduce the risk of heart disease and things like that, but we should be treating people based upon their symptoms of hot flashes and things like that. And that even though this study showed that there were some risks in the younger people, the newer data is actually beneficial. You know, the initial study showed that it might reduce Alzheimer's disease. The recent information shows that it has no long-term effect on brain function. And they've also found that in younger women, which is, I find this fascinating, they found that hormone replacement therapy did lower the risk of heart attack and heart failure. And therefore, they're saying that maybe the Framingham study did have some benefits that were true. And so, again, they're carefully telling us to use hormones with a grain of salt, and that we shouldn't be trying to tell patients that this is going to really reduce your risk of heart disease, that this is really going to reduce your risk of Alzheimer's disease, more that we need to treat you based upon your symptoms. And it boils down to using common sense. Anytime you're on an estrogen, it's going to slightly increase your risk of blood clots and stroke. But younger women usually don't have those issues, especially if you screen them properly as a patient. If you give it to someone who's, you know, 300 or 400 pounds or who has a history of cardiovascular disease or peripheral vascular disease, they're going to be at risk for those type of problems. And interestingly, there's two groups of patients that they studied. And I think listeners need to be aware of this. There's the group that had their uterus that were treated with estrogen and progesterone. And that group was still thought to be at slightly higher risk of breast cancer. Then there's the group that have had hysterectomies and went on estrogen alone. The data showed actually that they were at slightly decreased risk of breast cancer. So the estrogen-only arm of patients had a slightly better profile. Interestingly, both arms of the study showed that people's risk of diabetes was slightly reduced. So you can go on and look at a number of different health conditions associated with these, both regimens, and talk about them. But the answer is still clear that we shouldn't be treating people with hormones for these type of benefits. We should be treating them based upon the symptoms that they present with.
So correct me if I'm wrong, short-term, and we can find out exactly what that means, short-term hormone replacement therapy for women, say, in their 50s or just starting or in menopause is beneficial, can be beneficial, but don't use hormone replacement therapy long-term for decades in the hopes of reducing chronic disease.
You sounded like a physician today. Very well said.
All right.
But it's true. I mean, you know, here you have people who are going into menopause, and it just tears your heart out because they don't feel good. You know, they're not sleeping. They start to have vaginal dryness, and their sexuality is affected. And with the lack of sleep and the continued hot flashes, they can't concentrate. And a lot of times they'll present to the office and they'll say, I just don't feel good. I'm depressed. And the question is do you treat the symptoms of menopause or do you treat the depression? And what's happened is there's been such a stigmata against these hormones over the last decade or so since the data came out that you've got women who are saying, I don't want that stuff. It's going to kill me. And then they're willing to go on other medications like antidepressants and things like that when really they should be treating their menopausal symptoms for a short period of time to try and get them over the hump. And when we say a short period of time, we say, you know, 5 to 10 years maximum, and then hopefully you can reduce that. But then there are other preparations that you can use for the vaginal dryness if people have a healthy sex life. And what's interesting, what I find very interesting about the Women's Health Initiative is these medications that they used were oral estrogens and progesterones. There are many other products, including sprays that absorb through the skin, gels that absorb through the skin, estrogen patches. There's all kinds of different forms of these drugs that still have to be studied for their efficacy and their risk profile. They took the most common drugs that were used that were out there at the time, which was appropriate, but there's new and other preparations available currently.
We will talk about treating the symptoms of menopause. Are you going through menopause? Were you scared off by the hormone replacement therapy study that came out more than a dozen years ago? Do you have any questions about this new study and what it says? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. We are talking with Dr. Brian Baer, who is an obstetrician gynecologist at Aurora Advanced Healthcare in Milwaukee. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We are talking about hormone replacement therapy in light of a follow-up study on hormone replacement therapy that researchers say reaffirmed that hormone therapy is not recommended for the prevention of chronic disease, but it is a viable option for the short-term management of menopausal symptoms for younger women going through menopause. And we're welcoming your questions about this follow-up research. We're welcoming any questions you have about menopause and managing the symptoms of menopause. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. We are talking with a physician who deals with these issues, Dr. Brian Baer, an obstetrician gynecologist in Milwaukee. And we do have a number of callers, Dr. Baer, but is it safe to say, I'm looking at a lot of different news articles on this new follow-up study that were released this month, and some of them are saying that the original study 13 years ago never said stop all hormone replacement therapy, even for younger women, that it was just older women. But there was a rush to judgment, and women who read about this study were very frightened of it, and some doctors too. But it was not necessarily that the study said stop hormone replacement therapy for younger women.
That's correct. The study did not actually say go ahead and stop, but it was so hyped in the press, mm-hmm. that the risk of breast cancer was increased and the risk of cardiovascular disease was increased, that it was almost gleeful in the news and the press that we insist that this needs to stop right now. And I think for many reasons, including medical legal, doctors were afraid that if they had women on these hormones and they had a heart attack or they got breast cancer, that they were doing them a disservice by having them on it instead of actually looking at the data. You know, sometimes people hear things in the press, and instead of breaking down the data, they follow that lead. But the truth of it is the data was so difficult. There was so much of it, and it was broken down between the estrogen and progesterone arm with people who had their uteruses in and the estrogen-only arm. It was too difficult to analyze. And then it was ongoing. You know, they broke some of the information out of the study before the study was actually over. And I think that swayed people as well, because the end information shows that there are good benefits, especially people who are in the estrogen-only arm. But the main treatment, the mainstay of treatment, should be really for menopausal symptoms and hot flashes and vaginal thinning and atrophy at this point in time.
Well, let's take some calls. Robin in Hillsboro is with us. Hello, Robin.
Hi.
Good morning.
Thanks for taking my call. So in 2006, I was diagnosed with a pituitary gland tumor, and I ended up having to have it removed. And one of the side effects of this pituitary tumor is that you don't produce estrogen, or you produce a limited amount of estrogen. And so I had this tumor removed, and I was put on an estrogen progesterone replacement because my estrogen levels always read zero or very low. And so you said I was, how long ago was that? 7 years ago, so I was 39 when I was diagnosed.
Okay.
And I wasn't having, I was already having vaginal dryness. I was already having the low libido and lots of other symptoms, of course, from this pituitary tumor to go along with that. So my question is, you stated that you shouldn't be on this estrogen progesterone combo for a very long period of time. But without it, I have no estrogen. And so I'm wondering with what someone in my position should do, because it is the low libido, it is the vaginal dryness constant, and at least this helps a little bit. I can't say I've ever really went through menopause. They say medical menopause, because I don't get my periods. I haven't had my period since before they found the tumor, and that was all part of that. Sure. I did have one summer of a few hot flashes, but that's about it. And so I'm hoping that that's as far as it's going to go for the menopause. But so I'm just concerned because you said to only be on it for a short period of time. Well, I've been on it for a long time. So what would someone with a medical condition like this, what should they do?
Well, let me ask you a question. So it was a pituitary adenoma
Yes.
that they took out. And it was probably a prolactinoma. Is that what they told
yes.
you?
Yes. Yep, okay. I had prolactinemia.
Yeah, and that usually suppresses ovarian function, which puts people kind of into a pseudo-menopause and stops them from menstruating. And actually, a lot of women with those adenomas will have infertility because we can't get them to ovulate. And it really depends upon the size of the growth, if you have to remove it surgically or not. If it's more than a centimeter in size and it won't suppress with medicine, oftentimes we remove it. That said, your symptom, you know, you had a premature, you were forced into menopause prematurely because taking out the growth probably took out the cells in the pituitary gland that stimulate the ovaries to function and make estrogen. So your ovaries have kind of stopped functioning and therefore you don't have a lot of estrogen and probably diminished testosterone, which doesn't help with libido at all. So you're a good candidate to be on estrogen, and if you still have your uterus, progesterone. And also, for decreased libido, there's a lot more physicians today who are treating people with testosterone. Now, to answer your question, what is the length of therapy? The study recommends that women consider being on these medications for 5 to 10 years, and therefore you're going to probably be on them at least that long. There are therapies that you can use to treat the vaginal dryness, which go in the vagina and have minimal absorption into the bloodstream. There's a product called Vagifem, which you can use 2 or 3 times a week. It's a small pill you put in the vagina, and that can help keep your vagina well estrogenized if you have a healthy, active sex life. There's also testosterone preparations, which will help with libido. But to reduce menopausal symptoms, you are a good candidate to be on some form of hormone replacement therapy. Now, it's interesting, on women that I've treated over the years, one of the things that we do for people who have your issues is we put them actually on a low-dose birth control pill, because low-dose birth control pills don't have the same profile for increased risk of breast cancer. And that's, of course, an estrogen-progesterone combination. The birth control pill, there's been multi-center international trials that have shown the relative risk of breast cancer on the pill is equal to that of the general population, whereas the Women's Health Initiative showed that estrogen-progesterone combination hormone replacement increases the risk of breast cancer. Now, we've always found that interesting. And your question is great because it opens up this discussion. We found that interesting because they started treating women in their 60s with estrogen. Now, if you think about this, the target tissues of the breast and the uterus are very estrogen dependent. And therefore, you have these tissues that in the Women's Health Initiative were not seeing estrogen for perhaps 10 to 15 years. and then all of a sudden you start giving people estrogen, and that's where you see abnormal cell growth in tissues that haven't been seeing this stimulation effect for years. So for someone like you who never really went into menopause and your target tissues were treated with estrogen all along, I would think that long-term for you to be on these hormones that you wouldn't see that aberrant cell growth.
We have just a minute, Dr. Baer, before a news break, and so so that 5 to 10 years maximum does not necessarily apply, you don't think, to someone in Robin's condition.
No, I don't. Mm. I think that you should consider the benefits that you're achieving from it more than the risks at this point.
Yeah. Robin, thank you so much for the call. We will take more of your calls about managing menopausal symptoms and this new follow-up study on hormone replacement therapy. The landmark study some 13 years ago scared off a lot of women off of hormone replacement therapy. But this new study says that at least for younger women and short-term, that this is a viable option for the management of menopausal symptoms. It is not recommended for long-term use to prevent chronic disease. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org or post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page if you have a question for Dr. Brian Baer. I'm Joy Cardine. We'll check news from NPR and Wisconsin Public Radio, and then we'll be back. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. A new study suggests that short-term hormone replacement therapy is beneficial for some women in their 50s to manage menopausal symptoms, but it also reaffirms the findings of a previous landmark study that long-term hormone replacement therapy for disease prevention is not recommended. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up on 6:37 on this Tuesday, October 29th. We are talking with a physician about this study, which was a follow-up to that landmark Women's Health Initiative study 13 years ago, which was stopped when older women in the study had heart attacks and developed other diseases. We welcome your questions at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Our guest is Dr. Brian Baer, an obstetrician gynecologist at Aurora Advanced Healthcare in Milwaukee. And before we go back to the phones, Dr. Baer, let's clarify for those listeners just joining us, what are the benefits of hormone replacement therapy, and then we'll talk a little bit about the drawbacks and who shouldn't be on hormone replacement therapy.
Well, first and foremost, we know that the benefits are reduction of hot flashes and menopausal symptoms. And for people who are sexually active, it's beneficial because it keeps their vagina and lower genital tract well estrogenized. But some of the other benefits are we know that it reduces the risk of bone loss, so it definitely reduces the risk of osteoporosis. We also know in younger women starting hormones that it reduces the risk of heart disease, and that effect can be potentiated.
Mm-hmm. So then that all sounds good. Then why don't we all stay on this forever?
Well, because there are some people who feel that the risk of strokes and blood clots and potentially breast cancer will be increased, and that eventually you should consider getting off of them. But certainly in my practice, I have people who refuse to go off of them. They love the way they feel. There's a lot of intangibles. They feel that their skin looks better and healthier. Their sex life is good, and they don't want anything to change, and they're willing to accept the risks versus the benefits. And like we always tell people, the most important thing is to really sit down and have a good discussion with your doctor.
Mm-hmm. And help me understand why I have friends who had a gosh awful time going through menopausal symptoms, and some of their doctors said, "Hey, listen, you can be on hormone replacement therapy at least short term," and some chose to do that, and some didn't. And other women went through menopause like it was nothing. I mean, why is it so different among women, do you think?
That is the million-dollar question. There are just some women who everybody has a set point for symptoms. When your estrogen levels decline, there are neurons in your brainstem called the vasomotor neurons that produce hot flashes and those symptoms. Everybody's neurons in their brainstem behave differently with declining estrogen levels, and there's no way to predict how people are going to respond to that. And it's just it makes us all different. And I think that's the best answer I can give you.
Let's go to another caller. Sue in Sussex is with us. Hello, Sue.
Hi.
Yes, what's your question?
Hello. Yeah, I just wanted to say I had a strong family history of heart disease and breast cancer, but when I went through menopause at 48, my mother also had, which is kind of familial sometimes. But I went on this bioidentical. I actually had a 24-hour urine test, and they were able to measure my hormone levels exactly. And then in Madison, Wisconsin, there's a Women's International Pharmacy, and they compounded a hormone cream that I applied morning and evening, and it had combinations of estrogen, progesterone, and some testosterone. And it really was a lifesaver for, I used it for 5 years. And then I was able to taper off, and my symptoms are very rare and minimal. But I think that, I guess my question is I'm interested in what I could still use just like locally, like you were talking about, just vaginally or something, since sure. I've gone off those hormones.
Well, really Sue, how long did it take for you to start experiencing vaginal symptoms once you were off the bioidenticals?
Well, not very long. Once I withdrew from those creams, then I noticed the change come rather, pretty quickly. So,
well, your question is timely though, Sue, because I discussed earlier the fact that they did not study other forms of estrogen replacement, and bioidenticals are a field unto itself. Now, the American College of OBGYN tells us to instruct people that we can't give them a risk profile on these hormones because they haven't been studied properly. It's a compounding formula usually based on salivary or urinary levels that hasn't been studied in detail. So in telling you the safety profile of those bioidenticals long-term, including the risk of breast cancer, we can't give you that information. That said, it's a huge field currently with supplementing people with bioidentical estrogen, progesterone, and testosterone. But to answer your question, you can use topical estrogen, or I discussed earlier using a formulation, a product called Vagifem, which is a tablet that you put in the vagina. It's recommended twice a week, but for some people that need a little bit more, I give them three times a week. And it helps to estrogenize the lower genital tract with minimal absorption into the bloodstream. So it's basically locally estrogenizing the lower genital tract. And there's a lot of women who come in to see me yearly, and they'll get their Vagifem refilled, and they have an active, healthy sex life.
Thanks very much, Sue, for the call. Let's go now to Jackie in Madison. Hi, Jackie.
Hi there.
Good morning.
Hi. Morning. Hey, my question is, I have been on birth control. I'm 50 years old, and I have been on birth control since I was 18 years old. And my doctor is trying to encourage me to get off it, but it has worked really great for me. And I guess I'm a little nervous about going off that, one, how safe will it be to stay on it? And also, too, I'm, afraid that once I go off it, things will, fall apart. And if I do go off it, what are some alternative hormone replacement therapies to help me through menopause?
Jackie, you asked the million-dollar question. I can't tell you how many times I've had this discussion, because I'm now going to be 55, and I'll even bring my wife into the answer, because she's going to be 55. And after age 50, it becomes the gray zone. Let me ask you one question. You're in good health, and you've never had a problem with the pill?
Yes.
Well, my feeling is, and the way I advise patients is, stay on it as long as you can. And I earlier alluded to the fact that your risk of breast cancer is not increased. And if you're in good health and you don't have any vascular disease or liver disease, you should be good to go. We used to say we're keeping people on the pill until they're in their early 50s. Now, I always inform people, we'll have the discussion when you get to age 55. And I always tell them, it's just not going to be cool to be at a dinner party at age 68 and be talking with someone and say, well, my doctor's Dr. Barron, he still has me on the birth control pill. And it's, the question is, how long can you stay on it? Now, the interesting thing about that is there's a newer product out over the last few years called low estrin. And obviously with the birth control pill, you want to be on the lowest effective dose. And previously, the lowest effective dose had been 20 micrograms of estrogen. This low estrin is a 10 microgram dose, and it's extremely low. My wife is on it, and we're now talking with patients about keeping them on it until they're in their late 50s. Now, that's off-label, but it's for those patients who we've always had people coming in and going, why would I want to go on hormone replacement therapy when it's going to increase my risk of breast cancer when the birth control pill doesn't? And so, therefore, I would encourage you to stay on it until you're at least 55 if you're doing great on it, because the alternative is to either A, go off of it and experience menopausal symptoms, and then decide if you want to go on hormone replacement, either prescription or bioidenticals, or if you're doing great and feeling well, like my wife is, then just stay on it and at this point in time, at least for the next 4 to 5 years.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you, Jackie, for the call. So, Dr. Baer, if you're on hormone replacement therapy short-term to manage menopausal symptoms, when you go off of the hormone replacement therapy, presumably at some point, don't you just delay the menopausal symptoms or what?
Well, you are delaying it by being on the hormones, and that's the tough transition that people experience, and that's why, you know, you take people off of these hormones. Some people will wean off of them, but it's easy when you have people on just the estrogen only because they don't have their uterus. But for the people who are on the combination therapy of estrogen and progesterone, they can sometimes have irregular and abnormal bleeding. And it becomes difficult to manage, because if they try and wean it, you know, every other day or every third day to minimize the impact of the hot flashes and the symptoms, then they're going to run into these problems with irregular bleeding. And then all of a sudden they'll have all this irregular bleeding and they'll say, I can't do this, and then they just stop the hormones or they go back on their regular regimen. If they stop the hormones, then they have all these crazy symptoms and you have to manage it differently. And the way we manage that is with we have some nice low-dose antidepressants that actually can reduce the symptoms of hot flashes by up to 60%.
Yeah, why is that? Why do you think that is? Why does an antidepressant stop or reduce the intensity of a hot flash?
I think it stabilizes the neurotransmitters, mm-hmm. And reduces the hot flashes and the mood swings together, but they often don't work as well as the hormones do.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's some efficacy with that regimen, but not 100%.
We will take more phone calls about hormone replacement therapy and managing symptoms of menopause for Dr. Brian Baer, who is an obstetrician gynecologist at Aurora Advanced Healthcare in Milwaukee, in just a moment. 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We are talking about hormone replacement therapy during this hour, and welcoming your questions for our guest, Dr. Brian Baer, talking about this topic because there has been a follow-up study on hormone replacement therapy that talks about when it's recommended and when it's not. It looks like for younger women or women in their 50s, for short-term use, hormone replacement therapy is beneficial, but not for treating long-term chronic diseases. Our next caller is Margo in Madison. Hello, Margo.
Hello.
Yes, go ahead.
Morning.
Good morning, Dr. Baer. I am wondering if the follow-up study included estriol. I am not hearing any breakdown of the three estrogens that are made by a woman's body. And I'm not hearing, you know, whether or not the Women's Health Initiative study finally studied the right estrogen. Years ago, they studied Premarin, a synthetic that was made up of estradiol, I believe. And I'm also wondering if you're aware of Dr. John Lee, a graduate of Harvard Medical School who wrote many books, including What Your Doctor May Not Tell You About Menopause and What Your Doctor May Not Tell You About Breast Cancer. In that book, he mentions that in Europe, in Sweden and other countries, estriol, the hormone women's bodies make when they are pregnant, is used long-term to combat breast cancer and has a 32% remission rate of metastasized breast cancer. Estriol is completely different from the other two estrogens. It's not only safe, but I would say would have a long-term application, not short-term use. I am almost 70 years old, and I've been on estriol with progesterone in a natural bioidentical form since I went into menopause. I had a very easy menopause. I had no symptoms. I have never taken this for my symptoms. I have taken it to prevent breast cancer, which I believe it will do. My family has a history of breast cancer, which has not been visited on me thus far, and I do not think ever will.
Thank you, Margo. Dr. Baer?
Well, first of all, to answer your first question about did the Women's Health Initiative study estriol, indirectly they may have, but the problem is the true answer to your question is no. The Women's Health Initiative used Premarin, which is actually a combination of many different estrogens, and I'm sure that there's some estriol in there. They basically extract the estrogens in an unconjugated form, meaning there's multiple forms of it, from horse urine they obtain in horse farms in Canada, and they combine that with progesterone. That's the one arm of the study. The other arm of the study was Premarin alone. So again, those women received different forms of estrogen because that's what Premarin is it's multiple different forms, and estriol may have been in there. The Women's Health Initiative showed that the women in the estrogen-only arm did have a slightly decreased risk of breast cancer. And again, there's a lot of data on estriol and estrogen in reduction and increased risk of breast cancer, but the American College of OBGYN has instructed us that there isn't enough data to make that recommendation. There are people who feel that there are other benefits, and that's why bioidentical hormones are very prevalent. And, you know, I'd be interested to know if your family had any breast cancer gene analysis through your mom, if she was definitely positive for breast cancer.
No.
No. So, I mean, you've been very blessed, and you're doing well. And I always tell patients that come through that if you have found a regimen that works for you and you feel great, don't change a thing. Just recognize that because of your age, as you get older, you are going to be at risk for stroke and vascular disease, and therefore you may want to consider a baby aspirin on a fairly regular basis to help try and reduce that risk.
Thank you, Margo, for the call. Anne in Madison is with us now. Hello, Anne.
Hi. Well, menopause isn't a disease. It happens because if women didn't go through menopause, they'd menstruate all their lives. They could have as many as 50 children, and certainly having all those children would be a lot harder on their bodies than vaginal dryness. So first of all, it seems to me that if, you know, your guest mentioned that it may help prevent Alzheimer's disease. Well, why not have a study with thousands of men in it? They don't naturally produce, or they don't produce much estrogen. Let them be the guinea pigs and get this hormone replacement therapy to see if it prevents Alzheimer's in men, because they get it in huge numbers these days too. And third,
Anne, I think you, we get your point, but I don't think you said that, Dr. Baer.
No, I didn't. I said that they initially thought that S hormone replacement reduced the risk of mental health like Alzheimer's, but then they found that that didn't hold up in the trial. So
what's your response to menopause is not a disease?
It's not. It's a natural evolution of life and of the human body. So I wouldn't call it a disease. I would say more of a condition that people have to go through and deal with certain symptoms that are associated with it.
Yeah, and the Women's Health Initiative wasn't that started in a way because there wasn't a lot of research on using women.
That is correct, and you know certainly Anne's point is well taken that it'd be interesting to see if you studied men and gave them hormones, you know, what would their risk of Alzheimer's and dementia-related issues, how would that improve or worsen? And what's interesting is that I think it's important to recognize that testosterone will break down into weak forms of estrogen. So therefore, a lot of men who are taking testosterone will have their estrogen levels slightly increase. So she's right also that there's not a lot of data on it, and there are a lot of men out there who are now taking testosterone compounds, and there's a lot of advertisements for these clinics that are coming up, and I think that it's a whole different level and a whole new field, and things should be studied with that as well. So her point is very well taken.
Yeah, and women, you know, lived for generations and generations without hormone replacement therapy, and you know, until recent years. So why is it even needed?
Well, it's a valid point, but you know, in medicine, we try and improve the human condition and spirit, and help people go through different phases of life. And even though it's not a disease, we do have things that can help alleviate that. And some people are debilitated with the symptoms. So I'm certainly happy that we have things in our armamentarium that we can give them.
In our last 30 seconds, what's your takeaway from, or what should our listeners' takeaway be from this new follow-up study?
The takeaway is that the pendulum did swing too far, and that we shouldn't be treating women for medical conditions, but we should be having a long discussion about what are the benefits to them on an individual basis. And as always, talk to your doctor.
Thank you so much for being with us. Yes. Dr. Brian Baer is an obstetrician-gynecologist at Aurora Advanced Healthcare in Milwaukee. Thanks to Robin Cherry for producing and directing this program. Thanks to Christy Taylor for on-air production. Thank you for listening. I hope you stay tuned. There's much more to come. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.